To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatorti. You find my stuff online at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, MikeLuoma.com. So I'm on Facebook and Twitter, too, just under my own name, afterthere.com/MikeLuoma. And there's a Facebook page, too, for Glow in the Dark Radio, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. We now have a Facebook group for fans of this podcast, fans of my books, fans of my comics, friends who want to be a part of this whole world. It's Radio Activists now on Facebook. We are friends and fans of Glow in the Dark Radio at Radio Activists. A new group on Facebook, which you can find at our Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. It's also what I call my mailing list now. If you're on the mailing list, you're a radio activist, or part of the radio activists. Not sure about the flow yet there, but yeah. The name came to me and it's, you know, kind of sticking. So if you sign up for the mailing list, I send it out once a month or so. But you also get a free PDF ebook of a book that's not available anywhere else. It's called The Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, and it's not really a guide to life. It's an anthology of some of my stuff that you can't find in a lot of places. Previews of some of the comic book stories, too. But it is exclusive to the mailing list. You only get it when you sign up. Sometimes I offer a link for a higher resolution download, too. Because I'm like that, you know. So sign up today. I'll probably send a short one out this week just to remind you of the new book that's out, coming out Wednesday. First, let's talk about more fun with Alibi Jones, because that's what's happening on this episode of the podcast. Alibi has been undercover on the planet Kismet, in disguise because the people who run the place have told him if he sets foot there, he's a dead man. So he's been disguised as a female Dakor with the Dakor delegation, but they left last night, so now Alibi is sharing a piece of the floor in Brady Thomas's hotel room as they get ready to free Alibi's ex, Katie Ramsey, and Alibi's friend Kit, the Dakor. They're both in the clutches of crime lord Rene Lavalore and his right-hand man, the deadly Mr. Peterson, on their planet Kismet. So that escape gets underway in Chapter 23 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, and that's coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little book news. As I said, I have a new book coming out this week. That is Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, the full-color edition. I am the writer and the letterer. The original art is by Christian Navarro, and the color and finishing is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. It's cinematic with the color. Just really pops. It's great to see the combined effort and what's, you know, there on the page. Man. It's going to be out at Comixology on Wednesday, along with Drive-Thru Comics. You'll be able to get it digitally at both of those places. As I record this, I'm not sure if it's going to be exactly Wednesday that it's out at Indie Planet, but it will be there soon. I did get my print proof copy. It is beautiful. I'll be putting out a video so you can see me opening that up. Of course, it's the story of Bernard Campion, BC. Sent to Lunar Prime to assassinate Governor Meredith McIntyre, and then befriend the new governor, Mark Edwards, take care of some other missions for the Pope and the Office of Papal Operations, all in the year 2109. It's about 100 pages, adapted from my novel, my original Vatican Assassin novel, and that is out this coming Wednesday, March 14th. Proud to have it out there in full color like this. This is the vision, you know. Seeing it done like this. So many years in the works. Woo! And that is all for news. That's a big news item. So we're going to go with that. And up next, I've got Chapter 23 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio.
So how would you describe a podcast like The Shared Desk?
It's a podcast that took its sweet time to do a promo.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
I mean, you could say The Shared Desk is a podcast about collaboration, because that's what we do.
Wait. There's a lot more to The Shared Desk. You got our Loot Crate looky-loo.
Oh, what's in the box?
And then what we're doing when we're not writing, usually it's pretty nerdy.
Nerd!
And then there are the drop-ins.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Yes, there are drop-ins.
And we love having guests on the show. It's The Shared Desk, after all.
And if it's Katie or Lauren, you get some lovely singing as well.
So find The Shared Desk on iTunes, Stitcher, or at theshareddesk.com. The Shared Desk. Two writers.
One podcast.
Different points of view.
Now here's Chapter 23 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio. Somehow, Alibi does sleep. Without remembering falling or being asleep, Alibi awakes as Thomas yells a hearty, "Kid! Hey, kid! Wake up!" at him. "Time to get dressed! Let's see if we can't sneak out of here today like you want to," Thomas says. "I hear you," Alibi responds, groggy. He pushes himself up onto his feet, stretching to try to work out the kinks in his back and shoulders caused by sleeping on the hard floor. Alibi uses the refresher and gets off the past day's grime and the remnants of the sticky stuff that kept his costume's fur on in places. His own hair has grown longer than he usually wears it. His skin is darker than usual, part of the costume that should fade with time. He hardly recognizes himself in the mirror.
"Huh. Well, that's good. Let's hope Peterson doesn't recognize me either."
He pulls the Kismet worker's jumpsuit out of the cleaning drawer, and gets dressed.
"Ready to do this, kid?" Thomas asks.
Thomas is dressed in his own Kismet worker's jumpsuit. Alibi doesn't answer Thomas right away. A strange numbness has struck. The temperature of the air around Alibi seems to drop 30 degrees. A chill envelops him. He shivers. It seems to break the sudden spell.
"Kid?"
Brady Thomas asks. He sounds concerned. "I'm fine. It's just all kind of hitting me." Alibi shakes his head. He looks at the floor. Another chill ripples through him, cascading over him, along with an avalanche of doubts and questions.
"What the hell was I thinking? How could I ever think this would work? Can I really trust this guy, Thomas? Will we be able to get to Katie? When will they send Kid out? Will it be in time?"
"Natural to have some doubts," Thomas says. "I'm just thinking," Alibi lies, "going over the plan in my head. Our hover car is all set, out by the exercise yard. Got the confirmation call when you were in the fresher," Brady informs him.
"At least one part of this crazy puzzle is in place."
"Good," Alibi says. "Plan's starting to come together, see?"
"Trying to convince him or me?"
"Hope so, kid. I'd love to see it happen," Thomas replies, sounding less than convinced. "I'm still not happy about using my ship to get you off of this rock."
"But you're still doing it, right?" Alibi checks him.
"I'm still here, ain't I?" Thomas protests, sounding a little insulted.
"Sorry," Alibi apologizes.
"You're right."
"All right, let's go," Thomas says. "Follow behind me, and try not to look anyone in the eye."
"Gotcha," Alibi agrees. They leave the hotel room and ride the elevator down to the lobby. Once out of the elevator, Alibi looks around the lobby, hoping he doesn't see Peterson.
"Good. No sign of him. Weird to see him in here yesterday."
Brady Thomas and Alibi make their way across the lobby and on out into the main corridor. Alibi looks at the floor as they walk. Thomas's advice is good. Alibi can't risk the chance he'll recognize anyone, or anyone him. Alibi shoots a glance around him to keep track of where they're going, trying not to walk into anyone or anything.
You're kind of twitchy, kid. Calm that shit down, huh? Thomas whispers in a hoarse voice back at Alibi.
Sorry. Alibi stops trying so hard and still manages not to make eye contact as they walk. Not many people walking the corridor actually do make eye contact, he notices after a few minutes. Thomas leads them down through the city. They're in one of the oldest parts of Kismet. As they descend, the city visibly becomes more old spaceship and less planet-built new construction. Alibi and Brady Thomas enter the old casino.
Here's where it gets tricky, Thomas says. Act like you're working. We're crossing from the public section to the worker section. Grab that trash can there.
He nods his head at a large orange trash can against the wall, off to their left.
What? Make it look like you're working,
Brady Thomas rasps in a loud whisper. He shoots a glance to each side to make sure no one heard him. Chagrined, Alibi picks up the trash can. He looks over at Thomas. Thomas nods towards a corridor behind the gaming tables.
Down there, he says.
Alibi waddles a little with the large trash can in his arms as he follows Thomas past the gamblers and dealers.
Blackjack tables. Lots of them. Remember, no eye contact. Oh, shit.
Peterson is standing at a table next to the entrance to the corridor.
You don't see me. I am invisible.
Alibi tries not to look like he's looking away, as he also tries not to look at the man. He stares down over the trash can at Thomas's heels as he walks on towards the corridor.
He won't know me. Why should he remember me? I am invisible. Sure, I remember him, but he must threaten hundreds of people.
Hey!
Brady Thomas yelps as Alibi plows into him with the trash can.
Sorry,
didn't realize you'd stopped, Alibi apologizes.
Didn't you see the door?
Brady Thomas asks him, sounding annoyed.
Nah, I wasn't looking up, Alibi says.
You know, eye contact?
See it now.
Alibi stares straight ahead at what looks like an old starship's cargo bay door.
We really are in what used to be the old space station.
Great, Thomas answers. Hold on. It'll open in a second.
It's a long second. Alibi thinks he can feel Peterson's eyes on his back. He doesn't dare turn around to see if that's the case. The door in front of them is still closed. Seems to be taking a long minute. Alibi begins counting time in his mind.
1-1,000. 2-1,000. 3-1,000.
The door slides aside to reveal another blank white wall about 8 meters in front of them. A corridor leads off each way.
Come on,
Thomas grunts as he walks through the door, leading Alibi to the left. The corridor is long and wide. Thomas and Alibi give a small pack of security goons a wide berth as they pass. The goons are guarding another sliding door, this one built into the right-hand wall.
No eye contact.
Alibi lets his eyes lose focus, blurring his vision, concentrating on carrying the trash can.
That's the power plant, Thomas tells him when they are safely out of the guard's earshot. Used to run the whole place when it was a ship and an orbital station. Now it gives the city most of its power.
Wild how the city used to be a ship, Alibi marvels.
Wait till you see the old engines down below. We gotta go by some of them to get to where your girl will be coming back into the city, Thomas says. Those things are bigger than a lot of buildings I've been in.
Thomas leads Alibi to the corridor's end, at a bank of two elevators. A 5-meter-wide door and a smaller 2-meter-wide door stand side by side.
We'll take the freight elevator down,
Thomas says, activating the larger of the two lifts. The larger door opens on a spacious elevator car whose opposite wall also appears to be a door. The two men enter and Thomas hits the controls. Alibi feels his stomach flop over as they drop down 3 levels in a split second. The wall behind them opens up when they stop. The door opposite their entrance opens on a busy scene of bustling workers and small and large hover cars zipping every which way. The cars dart through the busy crowd and between the heavy pylons which support the rounded, distant ceiling above. Alibi and Thomas leave the elevator.
We need to half walk, half run over to the wall over there, on the left, Thomas tells Alibi. We're running out of time. Alibi puts the trash can down, glad to finally be rid of it.
Can't carry it and run at any speed.
What are you doing, kid? Thomas asks. Pick that can back up. I can't run and carry. It's part of your disguise, and it's working. Come on, Thomas says. He turns and begins walking briskly toward the left side wall. Alibi picks up the trash can and hurries after Thomas. The ceiling curving away above is actually the outside of the old ship, which becomes more evident as they cross the open space and work their way through the traffic. A giant cone, made of what looks like a stack of giant tubes, looms to their right. As it soars up to meet with and disappear into the ceiling above, an intricate network of human-sized hoses and spaghetti clumps of wiring sprout from the sides of the cone to disappear along with it into the ceiling. That's one of them, Thomas says, pointing up to it. That's an engine. Who knows, might even still work. Would be just like Lava Lore to have the place ready to go, ready to escape when he needed to. That thing is huge, Alibi observes. Takes a lot of lift to move a city, Thomas cracks. Okay, hurry up, kid. We're running behind here. The two men make their way to the left side wall. As they approach, Alibi sees the area is a sort of motor pool for the city and its workers. Vehicles drive in and out through large doors that open out onto the surface of Kismet. Alibi and Brady Thomas reach the edge of a parking area where hover cars are driving up and parking. Some are plugged in at the charging station. A couple are being checked in at the guard post. As Alibi watches, one drives off out the doors to head out across the planet's surface into the wilds of Kismet. Thomas stops him. We're here. She's due back any minute now, he says, and her work unit will be parking their hover car right here. Right here? Alibi asks. You're sure? Couple thousand of your dollars sure, kid, Thomas cracks. As sure as you can afford to be. Thomas watches the guard post for a moment, then starts to walk over towards a larger cargo-carrying hover car. Come on, he calls back. Over here.
That makes sense. Don't want to be conspicuous.
Alibi and Thomas put the cargo carrier between themselves and the guard post. Alibi puts down the trash can. I'm not picking that up again, he declares. Before Thomas can argue with him, both men are distracted by the sound of a hover car driving in through an outer door and arriving at the guard post. It's a larger cargo-carrying hover car than the one they're hiding behind. After a minute, the hover car is cleared in by the guard post. It drives over to a space near them and settles down to park. Three men and two women get out of the vehicle. One of the women is Katie Ramsey.
Katie!
Alibi is surprised by the conflicting waves of emotion that crash over him as he sees her again for the first time in months. Part of him still loves her. He feels that love, that ache, acutely. At the same time, he knows things are close to over. Hell, they are over between them. And he hates her for how she can just walk away. That hate bubbles up, too.
Damn.
While Alibi stands dazed, Brady Thomas leaves his side and walks over to the hover car.
Katerina Ramsey?
He calls out,
shocking Alibi back to alertness. Excuse me, is one of you Katerina Ramsey?
Who wants to know?
The other woman calls back with a little attitude. One of the men snickers. Katie looks the other way. Alibi eases around out of sight behind the cargo carrier.
Mr. Peterson wants to see her, Thomas answers.
The snickering stops. The five are quiet. I'm Katerina Ramsey, Katie volunteers.
Would you come with me, please? Brady Thomas asks her.
She looks down. Sure, she mumbles. She looks at her companions. I guess I'll see you guys later. One of the men looks at Thomas with suspicion, probably the security worker in the unit. I haven't heard anything, he says to Thomas.
Peterson tells you all his plans, does he? Thomas fires back.
The man glares at Thomas, but lets it go. He walks off.
Come on, Thomas says to Katie.
He turns and begins to walk over towards Alibi's hiding place. She follows. The other three workers follow the first man off in the other direction. You know, Katie says to Thomas, whatever Peterson wants, I'm kind of glad to hear it's him.
Really?
Thomas answers, authentically surprised. They've almost reached the cargo carrier and Alibi's hiding place.
Don't usually hear that from people.
It's a weird relief, she explains. Alibi can hear her as she goes on. There's this guy. That sounds dumb, but I'm worried he'll try to come save me. So when someone calls out my name, I'm always worried it's going to be him, Alibi Joe.
Katie nearly swallows her tongue when she walks around the back of the hover car and sees Alibi. She slows down, stunned, as she stares at him.
Hi, he says, trying to sound casual and nonchalant.
Damn it, it is you. Somehow I knew it, Katie says. This is stupid, Alibi. You shouldn't be here.
Yet, here I am, he says, and we're going to get you and Kit off of Kismet.
I don't think you know what you're...
Katie pauses in her tirade.
Wait a minute. Kit's here? You said me and Kit.
He's here, locked up. Lavalur is planning to execute him for threatening his life, Alibi informs her. I came here to Kismet with a Dakur delegation led by Kit's father. I'm on a mission to free him and bring him back to his father with his father's blessing. I get to free you, too, kind of a bonus.
Katie doesn't believe Alibi. She shakes her head.
Thomas pipes up.
It's true, Thomas tells the girl, backing up Alibi. And we should get going. Pick up the trash can, Alibi.
What? Can't really pretend anymore with Katie here, Alibi says.
Sure we can. It makes people not look at you. It's good, Thomas insists. Come on, pick it up.
It's getting heavy. Alibi almost whines. Katie reaches into the trash can and pulls out the bag of trash. She drops it on the ground.
There, she says. Not so heavy.
Thomas and Katie look at Alibi, waiting. He lifts the trash can back up.
Thanks,
Alibi says, half-heartedly. But the trash can is, of course, lighter.
No need to go back up into the city, Thomas says. We'll cross over to the other side by walking underneath it. Head for the waterfront and the Circle Bay Casino.
All the way across? Underneath? Katie asks.
We'll avoid the sewer system, Thomas assures her. Here, he calls to her.
He tosses her a cylinder, the Killbot flushing agent.
Hold on to that. Speaking of flushing things, that stuff will help flush the little robots out of your blood before we leave here.
Really? I was wondering, she says. Why are we heading out towards the casino and the waterfront instead of to the port?
They've been exercising Kit in a fenced-in yard over that way, Alibi tells her.
Oh, she grows quiet. No one says a word as they make their way across the open spaces between the engines and the pylons. There's an unspoken tension between Alibi and Katie. Katie can't contain herself. After about 5 minutes of determined walking, she lets loose.
This is incredibly foolish. It's stupid. You know that, don't you? She asks Alibi.
You're welcome, he says, his tone loaded with sarcasm.
I don't want to see you dead, you idiot, Katie says, with some tenderness in her voice.
Brady Thomas chuckles.
You two are priceless, he tells them. Can it for now. Let's try to blend in with the crowd moving that way.
Thomas nods at an informal column coming together as workers, freight, and other service vehicles make their way down the main concourse that heads out towards Circle Bay Casino. They get into the flow, trying to blend in with the traffic. It's surprisingly easy for them. They walk with the crowd between pylons and engine cones, then out down a long concourse. A constant stream of supplies and human services flow into the casino for the patrons, the customers, the consumers. The concourse ends. They walk outside of the lower level. Alibi and Katie follow Thomas as he steps out of the flow of traffic and off to the side of the supply path. Thomas motions for them to gather around him.
I was out here last night, he says. We need to head down an old construction road. It's a little ways ahead. Our hover car should be parked down there. They don't use that road to get in and out of there. They've got a secure walkway off the city's interior peripheral walk that they use instead. Leads out to here. We're going in the old back way.
The three walk a little further down the supply path, and then veer off away from the traffic down an access road. It's overgrown, but recently traveled. About 5 meters down the road, they find the hover car waiting for them. Good, Thomas says to himself, sounding as if he wasn't entirely sure the car would be there. That's good.
Piece by piece, the puzzle comes together.
The three make their way another few meters down the overgrown road until it dead ends at a gate in a high fence. Alibi looks in through a gap in the gate. The fenced-in area is much as Kit described it, a bare patch in an old construction site.
Alibi, Thomas calls out from the brush next to the gate. Over here! Let's wait out of the way!
Alibi climbs through the brush, off the road, and into the thicket where Thomas and Katie are.
Hope they haven't already brought him out here today. Hope they do bring him out here today.
The three of them settle in to wait for Kit.
That was Chapter 23 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, they've got Katie. They have freed her from the clutches of Lava Lore. Kind of. Sort of. Well, not really. They've just got her with them. They haven't gone anywhere yet. But now they are ready to grab Kit if he shows up there in that exercise yard. Then they'll head for the ship and try to get off the planet. Well, they'll try to flush the killbots from the bloodstreams of the two first, too. But man, there's stuff happening. We're working towards this. Alibi freaking out a little bit there at the start, but getting his shit together, yeah. And now it's happening. I don't want to say it's working yet, you know, knock on wood. But it's happening. The escape plan. I hope you'll be back for Chapter 24 to see if it keeps working. Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her. That'll be on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm not sure if there's going to be an episode next week. I might have a week off here. I'm going to be taking a little vacation, so I have to see what happens. There may be a random episode in the middle of the week. We'll see. But we are getting down to the climax of this novel, so I don't want to keep you waiting too long. Remember, in book news, my new graphic novel, Full Color, Vatican Assassin, comes out this coming Wednesday, March 14th. You'll be able to get it at Comixology and at Drive-Thru Comics. And very soon it'll be at Indie Planet as well. I'm just not positive it's going to be there Wednesday, but it could be. I will let you know. But yeah, 100 pages, full color, original art by Christian Navarro, color by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I'm the writer, letterer, editor, layout, adapter, whatever, everything else, you know. And I'm very proud we've got it out. It's a cool story. I mean, I've been proud of the story for a long time. It's my first novel. And now you can read the comic book adaptation in full color. I hope you do. That is all for this time on Glow in the Dark Radio. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.